they're terminating their arrangement with us. But I looked at it, and you will recall that I thought there was, like, no issue. I support the idea of being credited to the stations. I still support the idea of the stations participating and trying to secure these. But when they don't pay, if it's a month that they miss, how do you, you know, what do you do with that on the books? Do you then, you know, reduce the central services? Do you move this out of here, out of there? There's so much fluctuation right now with these, and I am just now getting to where I have to be in direct contact with them. General Mello apparently is the one that has been in contact with them over a period of time, and I'm still gathering information, but the mechanism of how to keep this in a way that's viable for everyone is still something that I think we need to postpone and look at, and I will really need help assessing it. I thought it would be a simpler undertaking.
Lydia, this is the chair. Was this, it doesn't really say in the agenda which you prepared, Chris, whether this was supposed to be a report from Lydia or, Chris, what was the thinking in having this be 30 minutes? And did we have a report or some other information?
Well, just recalling where we ended up the last time, if I may have the floor.
Of course, thank you.
What we decided last time is that we didn't have a clear enough picture of what the revenue breakdown was on the for the individual stations and for the network as a whole. In other words, how big of an issue is this to begin with, in order to kind of get our heads around what we're dealing with here. And also, I think we have some idea of what the revenue potential is, because the license that Lydia just referred to would be kind of a glamorous example of what the revenue potential would be for individual stations, particularly those with large audiences. And I think the hope was, at least on my part, that we'd come to an understanding of just the scope of the issue, and could formulate some basis of either an opinion or certainly an opinion on the original motion that was proposed at the PNB on this. I still stand by the suggestion that I made before, that I found the motion a bit complicated in that, and I think Lydia just basically confirmed that when people terminate their sideband lease revenue agreements or billing arrangements, or however you want to put it, I guess it's a lease technically, how would we treat the central services credit going forward? Would it continue accruing until those items were worked out or those clients were replaced? It seems just far simpler to me just to credit the revenue to the individual stations and let them dispose of that revenue in whatever way they see fit, keeping in mind, of course, that everybody owes central services, regardless of what station it is. They could use the funds for those purposes or to make payroll if they need to make payroll. It becomes part of the operating account. But in any case, this is far more elaborate of a reply than you probably needed, but that was the thinking.
That was very good. This is James. I'm the chair. I'm going to just interject for a moment and say that I believe that the account we're talking about in L.A. was the one that was $10,000 a month for a total of $120,000 a year.
Correct.
I want to know if that's correct. And I also ask, thank you, I also ask if what I suggested at the last meeting, that the WBAI sideband agreement was a total of $5,000 a month for a total of $60,000 a year. Was that also, were you able to see if that was correct?
Yeah, I think that's correct, but that's what raised the issue. The issue was not this. The Korean entity just contacted me today. The issue, because up to then, like last month, I still received their $10,000, so they were very, very prompt always in paying. The issue was that with the New York sidebands, our remaining sidebands, for some reason, nothing, we didn't receive anything for December and on. And then I thought, okay, well, maybe that's the change, you know, the changes with the office location. So I'm still trying to find out if they didn't pay or if they, if it just didn't get to us. So that's one. But in that instance, so they don't pay a month, then how do you make, you know, that adjustment and so on and so forth with the formula that was proposed is what I'm saying. Because there's a motion, there was a motion that was brought to the committee. And that was passed by the LSB. So that's what we're talking about, not what Chris was talking about. This was a, like a different thing where it still goes to the national office, but it's all credited except for 5%, blah, blah. The problem is that some of these are going to be uneven, and particularly in the upcoming situation, so with COVID and so forth financially. So we don't know what that's going to look like. And if that has further impacted the receipt of any other monies, that was the only one I had ever seen since I have been appointed as IED with the Korean radio. So there you go. So this
okay,
might this may be moot as as one would say.
Oh well, yeah.
Sadly,
unfortunately, it may be moot.
Yeah.
You're right. But this is the chair again. I just want to ask a further question, and that is, just can you give us a general background as we're discussing this? It seems like we're talking about leases, and I think lease is the correct term. So, what we receive as income is rental income. And,
yes, they use our sideband, and they have these special little transmitters, and So that their subscribers or their listeners use in order to receive that programming. And I might also add, because we also had said, obviously the local station is in the best community is in the best position to reach out to the community for that kind of use. Having said that, the one that we're losing was the best one we've had. And that was negotiated by John Krigler. So, as is often the case, whenever someone wants to broadcast or is interested in doing anything with our stations, who they contact is our FCC attorney. At that point, it was John Krigler. He's now retired, but it's Foster Garvey that we discussed before.
Yes, that's
right. And he did a magnificent job negotiating that. So that's the point to that.
And also, I think we may have mentioned this last time, but the sidebands, from a layman's point of view, if you think of a radio wave on a piece of paper and a graph, the sidebands are the things to the far left or the far right. There's an area where there's room there to broadcast a different broadcast within the same signal. That you know, people can hear and tune into. That's what a sideband basically is. Is that right?
That's correct. A special tuner that
yeah.
you have to have. Yeah.
Yes.
To pick it up.
And the motion that you were referring to before is the one that came out of the WBAI Finance Committee, and then went to the PMB, and then back to the Finance Committee about how to manage the funds that come from this. Lydia, were you able to discern whether or not there was any, we know WBAI, KPFK has had a sideband that now apparently is terminated. What are the other sidebands? Do we know?
No, it was KPFT was the other one. And as I said, we haven't received income from any of them. And I don't know if it was the change of address. I'm waiting to get the contact information from John Elmella, so I can speak to them directly and see what's going on, see if that's a permanent situation or just a temporary setback.
And while we've had some information that there's a diminution in the market for these kind of sidebands, it still could be a modest income, and so it may be something we should pursue at all the signal signals?
Yes, possibly. And then how you do it, I would suggest that we do so as John Krigler did, because I think that there's a way and an audience, a means of advertising for it as well. And so we'll have to see if this is moot or not. I will.
Thank you for that.
I'll let you know.
Did I hear someone else?
Dwayne Locke.
Yes, Dwayne, please go ahead.
Okay, Lydia, did you ask Markeisha regarding the sideband relationship or contract that exists with KPFT's band?
No, I asked John Almella because he had all of the contracts, and I'm waiting for him to send the one for KPFT, as a matter of fact. And the one, he's also supposed to send me the one for the Korean network as well. That's 15 years old, because I wanted to see if there was a 30-day notice involved for when
they leave. Well, I've been waiting for this information for years now.
Yeah.
So was he able to tell you that he was affirmatively aware of a contract that existed between KPFT and an entity?
Yes, and I'm waiting for him to send those to me. I had that conversation today.
Well, I'm very much anxious to find out, because this has been a contract that's been in existence, and I know that they are using the sideband, but I don't understand. Are you saying that the monies that these entities would send come directly to the national office and not necessarily from the local station, to the local station?
Yes, that's what the motion is about, that they should go to the local station.
No, that's not what I'm asking you about, what the motion is about. I'm asking you the existing revenue.
Yes, that's what gave rise to the motion, was that they go to the national office.
No, I think actually, Lydia, the income, correct me if I'm wrong, I think the income has always gone to the national office. The idea behind the motion was that the station sending the income, or, you know, the sideband, the stations from which the sidebands were originating the income, would be credited with central service credit.
That's correct.
Got it. Okay. Everybody understand that?
Our Paul for staff.
And thank you. We have devolved into a little bit of just a dialogue here, and I think it was okay. But let's go back to more regular order. Go ahead, our Paul.
It's not always like that. SCA revenue went to the stations until around about 20-6 in there somewhere, when the PNB passed a motion saying now it goes to the Pacifica National Office. So since that time, it has gone to the National Office. Before then, it didn't.
That's also correct.
Yes, I recall that history as well. Thank you, R. Paul. Anyone else on this subject?
Yes, Dwayne.
Go ahead.
While you're explaining how the sideband is utilized by any entities, could you go further into what technologies, how do they communicate, who would access in terms of a listener, and how do they actually use the sideband signal for broadcasting? And I know in our case, it's alleged that a university here in Houston has a contract with KPFT. So I just want to, I'm not familiar with exactly how they utilize that technology. And me being a radio listener, how would I gain any programming or any type of communications that they're sending out?
Okay. So John Almella, who also is Pacifica's side of the FCC compliance issue, has been, as long as I've been associated, or at least in recent years, since I've been on the board, has been charged with that oversight and the technical aspect of that. And that's why he also has all their contact information, usually kept track of all of the payments, would call them if they were late and whatever. So that's how that works. In terms of the university, I don't know, because I think that the university, I thought the university was a separate issue and that they had some use for it at one point, but I could be mistaken about that. It's been a long time. And that's why what I want to see is the actual agreements.
Well, I still need further clarification on my question, which was how is the technology used and how is the public able to benefit or listen to any communications utilized on the sideband?
Okay, so they are given a frequency which enables them to, with a special tuner that they are sent, a physical tuner, just like your remote for your TV or cable. And on that tuner, they get to hear this, you know, the programming for a particular community, because these have all been either Spanish, Korean, French for the Haitian community, and I don't remember if there was one more. But anyway, they've all been language specific. And but they have to physically have this tuner who they get from the entity leasing the sideband from us.
So how would I listen to with them?
You would get it, one of their tuners, and then you would listen to it. It may be, however, that John is able to access it as well, because obviously we're everything that our technical people do, they're able to access. The mechanics of that, not being a technical person myself, John would have to answer. I could ask him to join our meeting next time if we continue this discussion next time.
Okay.
Any other discussion? Okay, hearing none. Why don't we move on to the next item, which is the discussion of the central services formula. And this is a 15-minute item. However, we are due to adjourn no later than 10:15 p.m., and we still have discussion of the budgeting process and new business on the agenda. So we can keep that in mind as we move into this new area, and if we don't have that much discussion, perhaps we can continue on to some of the other items. So discussion of central services formula. We have been discussing that in its kind of general terms up until now. Does anybody have anything specific that
Alan
they want to discuss?
Stack. Alan for the stack.
Okay, anyone else?
Chris Corey for the stack.
Anyone else? So I have Teresa Allen and Chris Corey. Go ahead, Teresa.
I would like to know from Anita, as of right now, which stations are current with their central services payments and which are not, and maybe how far they are behind, if anyone is behind.
We have one station, KPFA, that is owing about $51,999, and then all the rest are still, we have unpaid from 2019 and, of course, 2020, for a grand total of $751,000.
And this is Lydia.
Lydia, I'm sorry, we had Chris next. Unless,
okay.
Teresa, do you have something else?
Well, she gave me the specifics about KPFA. They owe $51,000. So can you tell me how much KPFT owes?
$41,536. Yes.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Oh, can we hear the other amounts while we're on the subject?
Yes. I'd like to hear that too, actually.
Sure. WBAI, $294,927.
And WPFW,
$178,684.
And KPFK, $184,145.
We have
a general strike against central services.
Yes.
With the exception of
KPFT.
Right, yep.
Well said.
And
KPFA.
Yes.
Well said as well.
Well, we're all guilty, right? Am I missing something? We all owe something. KPFT owes $41,000.
Yes.
You're right.
Elite.
You're right,
yep.
Teresa.
Yep.
How much
okay.
did KTFA owe?
$51,999.
Well, being as rich as they are, I think KPFT is good comparison.
You know, Dwayne, that's totally out of line, and please stop your attack on KPFA. It's really
okay.
uncalled for. Uncalled for.
That the revenue.
Okay, order, please. Order. Order. Not, no crosstalker. Dwayne.
I agree.
And Sharon.
Alan agrees. Point of order against
Mr. Chair.
Lark.
This is Lydia.
Okay, Lydia, go ahead, please.
Yes, and as a point of clarification, Anita, this is including May, right? This is not all.
Yeah, so this is current.
Yes, this includes central services for the month we're in. It's often the case that they catch up mid-month, but anyway, there you go.
Thank you.
This is also obviously not year-to-date. This is going way back, I guess, because we have WBAI at 200 and was it 74,000 or
right.
294,000?
Yes, the dollar amount, we have a portion that is outstanding from 2019 and then a portion for this year, 2020.
Understood. And that's for all the stations?
Yes.
Understood. Thank you. Now, I kind of lost track of the stack in the back and forth. Who else wants to speak on this?
Chris Corey.
Chris, anyone else?
Fred?
Anyone else? Okay, let's start with Chris and we'll see where it goes.
Okay. So, the original, the idea for putting this back on the agenda was that we still need to determine what the central services formula should be going forward. And
right.
The most current proposal that's been submitted and the one that seemed to get the widest amount of agreement was to use listener revenue as a basis for determining the proportion of central services that would be allocated to each station. I just want to remind everybody that that's kind of where we left off. As I recall, there was some objection to that. Otherwise, it would have already been dispensed with. But I cannot, for the life of me, recall what that objection was at this juncture. Whoever made the objection might be able to recall it, but I can't. So I just wanted to kind of bring this back around to how this started and why it was on the agenda tonight. That's all. Thank you.
Chris, this is the chair. I'm going to make a special request of you, and you can refuse if you wish. But I wonder if you could reach back into your records and bring us up to date on that at the next meeting so that we could start where we left off and work towards coming to a conclusion on that. Is that something you'd be willing to do?
Sure.
Thank you, Chris.
This is Lydia.
Go ahead, Lydia. Oh, wait.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Wait a minute, Lydia. I'm sorry. We had
okay.
Chris and we had, was it Fred?
Correct.
Yes, go ahead, Fred. Lydia, you're next.
Yeah, okay. I just wanted to clarify some of the numbers for KPFK. It was my understanding, looking at the P&L statements, that KPFK was almost caught up for FY19 and FY20. I think we missed one central service payment in FY19, and I had heard from the business manager we had missed one payment this year. But I know that how far back do these numbers go? Because I know back in 2016, KPFK didn't pay central services for 6 months. And I thought some of that had been paid off. So is some of this money going as far back as 2016?
I don't think so. I don't have that in front of me. I only have 2019 and 2020.
Okay.
Paulina with a request for information.
But I will,
go ahead, Paulina. What is your request for information?
I would like Anita to put this info in writing and with specific time periods and perhaps share it with the members of this committee if that's possible. The central services info. Thank you.
Is that something you can do, Anita?
Yes, sir. I have it in front of me.
Anita, I have a question about that in general. And I wonder, when you come on these calls and when members make special requests of you for information or for, you know, reports or whatever else, does Pacifica get billed in addition to our regular fees for that, or is that included in our regular fee?
No, sir. It's already included.
It's included?
Yes.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you.
Dwayne, request some information.
Go ahead, Dwayne. What is your request?
Mr. Chair, I'm asking Anita to send to the committee. Well, I'll request it for myself. Others may not want it. But the amount that each station has paid for the past fiscal year.
You mean 2019 or...
Well, our fiscal year is October to October, so I think the last complete year probably would be 18 or 19, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
I would like to have that fiscal year payments from each station.
Okay.
Thank you.
Anita, this is the chair again. Can I ask you, where could we reference this information rather than asking you to get this for us? Is there a way for us to just go to information that we already have to find that?
I don't think so. I mean, this is a spreadsheet that we to track, quite frankly, by month, by station, you know, the invoice amount, and then when it was paid, again, by the month and the year. So,
is there any way to set it up so that the Finance Committee could receive that information as you generate it? Is that possible?
Sure, absolutely.
Without additional expense, I should add?
No, sir. You don't pay anything additional. Okay.
All right. You know, we're trying to be frugal here. Thank you.
Dan and I appreciate it. What we can do, and obviously I requested this because I knew you were going to ask me, that's what I have in front of me. But I will send it to you. I think I do have access now to be able to send things to the NFC.
Wonderful. Okay, going back to the stack, I think we then had Lydia.
Yes, I don't remember what my original comment was, but I can respond to Fred, and in 2016... I was IED, and KPFK was completely current on central services. That was the station we were borrowing money for for the elections and everything else. But nevertheless, yeah, we were KPFK was current in 2016, and then I can't remember what my other comment was. But there you go.
You came up with a new one. That's okay.
Derailed. I derailed myself.
You were on the stack, and you came up with something. That's okay. All right. So is there any more discussion on the budgeting process, understanding that
I remember.
We'll be carrying this forward?
Sorry.
Yes. Go ahead.
Okay, I remember. So this is adding one more task for your former chair. Is just so that for the newer members on the committee as well, is that you recap how central services has developed. In other words, the criteria for developing the central services, which was based on the listener support and so forth, which was not how it used to be before that. And our Paul Martin can also share in that. And I think that little piece of history, because you have listener support versus what all of our bills are. And so, anyway, so we have to determine what does it cost to run the network per station and for the network in order for central services to cover that. And so there you go. That's a really good starting point as well.
Okay, this is the chair again. And I'm going to suggest there's an analogy here to with property taxes. When you have a certain budget in a city or a town, and they have a certain amount of expenses, they divide that by the property and the by the number of properties and the, you know, the improvements on the various properties, and they come up with a formula. And when the value of the properties go up or down, they adjust the formula accordingly. And so perhaps we can get some kind of a fluid adjustment for, I seem to recall that part of what we were basing our formula on was the number of donors rather than the amount of the donors. So maybe we can make adjustments for not only how many donors we have, but how many, how much they're giving, so we can adjust. You know, and again, avoid the problem of people having burdens for essential services that they just can't pay, and then the whole thing goes out the window, and it may even create a culture where, you know, there's people just don't pay, which is not good.
Nancy to the stack.
Yes, Nancy.
Go ahead. I was wondering. Thank you. I was wondering if it might be fairer or useful, you know, to apportion central services to the stations according to the services that they use. Like, we, you know, the national office provides a lot of services, but not every station partakes in them equally. Like, people that have more staff, they use the, you know, they use the service for the payroll more than a station that has fewer staff, paid staff, you know, the payroll, fewer paid staff. And so if we could base that part of the central services on, you know, the amount of paid staff, and so each component that goes into making the cost for the network would be covered by the stations according to how much they use that service that the national office pays for. Does that make sense?
I hear what you're saying, and I think that actually hello? Good?
Oh, I'm saying it would be a complicated formula, but, you know, I mean, we pay the pension lawyers a lot of money, but not, you know, not everybody is partaking in that the same amount. You know, I can think of other services that are not used the same amount, percentage.
Yeah, like accounting, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can think of one also. At WBAI, we actually don't create our own budget, and we don't do our own accounting. That's shifted to the national office, so maybe in that case we should pay more for that. So I agree with you. It would be a complicated formula, and there were some comments at previous meetings that we don't want to have such a complicated formula that it has to be readjusted all the time, and that we it becomes overly complex. But I agree that that's something that could be considered, sure. But, you know, going forward, we're going to have a little more structure in these conversations. We just kind of had general topics of conversation on our agenda, and hopefully going forward we'll make these things more specific. You know, Chris is outgoing, I'm incoming, and with Chris's help and hopefully everyone's help, we'll have more specific discussions and come out with more specific responses.
Well, Mr. Chair, I wish to refine my request. To Anita.
Go ahead, Dwayne, of course.
If she is able, if you can accommodate, for the sake of those who are listening now, do you have that information I requested in front of you, that is the 2019 payouts of each station?
Yes, I do.
Could you state that now for the record?
Yes, that you would like for us to supply you with the information for all the stations of what was paid from the fiscal year. Not calendar, for 2019.
Yes, ma'am. But for clarification, in my request, I'm updating the request to ask you if you have that information at your fingertips now that you could cite it.
No, sir. I don't.
Okay. Well, very well. Thank you.
Anyone else on this topic? Hearing no one, why don't we go on to understanding we're at 10 minutes after 10 p.m. Eastern time. Let's go on to the discussion of the budgeting process and see how far we get. And I understand we have a time certain, 10:15 Eastern Standard Time, to conclude, but perhaps if we're involved in a vigorous conversation, we can extend. I'll leave that for the when we get to it. So let's have and I think I'm sorry.
Unless Chris, are we going to discuss Chris's motion at this time?
Well, I think the discussion of the budget process was proposed by Chris.
Okay.
And that he had a general motion for discussion.
Well,
so, Chris, do you want...
I had just a general question at some point, so we'll see how this goes.
Why don't you make it a point of inquiry, and then I'll recognize you for that.
Well, I guess maybe it's not general. My question is, how do the stations find out what their cash position is at any specific moment? Do we get that through our local finance committee? Should we be able to get it directly from our business manager? Or, you know, where can we see that, or where can we get that information at any time?
James, do you want me to try to answer that question?
I would. I can offer an opinion on how it's done at WBAI, but sure, go ahead. Of course.
It really depends on the accounting that's available to those individual stations. So, and in the case of WBAI and WPFW, they can probably inquire with Netta about that amount. The Great Plains system, I think, also should be able to generate a cash balance, provided that all the information was being input. So, it would be one of those two places, I would imagine.
Chris, is Anita?
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Anita. I stepped on
sorry.
You. Go ahead.
Chris,
I stepped on you because you didn't ask for recognition, by the way.
All right.
That's quite all right.
If in fact, the stations could send us a copy of their bank statement online, we obviously could put together a better cash flow.
I have a couple questions, Anita. Isn't that something you've been interested in for some time, is to have access to all the bank accounts online on a regular basis?
Yes, but we just
and that, so that would be a positive thing.
Exactly. All we want to do is be able to download it, to print it, to have it so we can track the cash and be able to report
right, so.
It.
So let's make that a future item that hopefully we'll be able to accomplish. And also, I just wanted to say for WBAI's purposes, it's a little crazy, but we know what our cash position is on a regular basis because our general manager uses QuickBooks, and he's able to, initially between Netta and him, there was a great disparity, and now they've narrowed it down to within 2%. And so we've had a pretty good idea of what our cash flow was. It wasn't always translated well to our finance committee by the general manager, but some stations have internal ways of knowing that, and hopefully if we open up our accounting to Netta, that, you know, we'll all have access to that. Thank you. Anyone else?
Well, this is Teresa. I would like to know, you said that we could get, Chris said we could get it through Great Plains, or we could get it, and Anita said she could get it through Netta, or Chris said that too. So how does KPFT get it?
Is that a question for Anita?
Yes, that's a question, I guess, for Anita, because I'd like to know what our cash position is right now at KPFT, and I don't know, and I don't know how to get it. As a treasurer, I don't know how to get it.
Well, I mean, the station should be able to, because they have online access, I'm sure. We just don't, if you see what I'm saying, for the three stations.
Anita, may I interject for a moment? Those are the three stations that are non-Mass 500 stations. Is that right?
That's correct.
Could you explain that as part of your answer? Thank you.
Yes. When we started to work with the stations, the New York and Washington, D.C. came on board, and essentially that is through Mass 500, and we do have access to the bank account as far as to view and know how it's tracking. For the other three, we don't have access, so we can't tell you what their cash position is at any moment. But they should. Because they're making the deposits, they're paying their own bills. So the, for us to look at Great Plains, unless if it is current, the cash is not going to be current in Great Plains either.
Thank you.
This is Lydia.
Go ahead, Lydia.
Yes, for KPFK, the senior controller is able to have access to CashPro at Bank of America, and it's merely right now, which I'm in the process of doing, is to get her to be able to see as much as she can for everything, whether it's our Bank of America credit card or Wells Fargo, whatever it is. She should always have a view access and for the cash flow. But certainly Markeisha at KPFT, she's always been able to tell me what your cash flow situation is at any given moment, but...
So, she's great.
Do you think I should get that through the general manager, or just be able to send an email to her and say, what's her cash position as of today?
Yes, you're the treasurer. She should be able to provide that to you.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
James, I'd like to move to extend for 5 minutes.
Okay, yes, thank you. You pointed out something that I missed. We went over time. Is there any objection to extending for 5 minutes? Hearing none. So, go ahead and
yeah, I'd like to
resume
the
back. Anybody else?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Chris.
Okay. So this item was regarding a proposal that I'm submitting to the NFC for creating a streamlined budgeting process. And it's something I've been thinking about for a long time because, you know, the stations, individual stations seem to have trouble putting together their budgets and getting them approved and then getting them passed up to the NFC. And it's just a big cumbersome mess. And so what I'd like to propose is that since we have current accounting now, that we use the figures that the interim figures from some specified one-year period that allows enough time for a budget to be constructed, and then put that budget in place for the fiscal year upcoming, October 1st to September 30th, and then monitor operations to check it against that budget, and if there's any deviations to it, report back to the NFC and also to the IED or the ED. And I'm just hoping that we can kind of close the loop on some of this stuff and make it possible to have better station monitoring and to help stations that are finding themselves in trouble and to, you know, be in a position to advise them. Because right now it's like a giant black hole into which figures and money and listener revenue go. And we don't really have much of an idea of what's going on until, generally speaking, it's too late to do anything about it. And I'm just hoping that in the time that I have remaining, you know, working for Pacifica on behalf of Pacifica, that this is something that we could get done. Because, yeah, it's been a struggle all year long and the entire time that I've been associated with Pacifica. So. You can review the proposal. I sent it as an attachment. If there's anybody that didn't receive it, it's just a set of general principles to start with, but I can flesh it out over the next 2 to 4 weeks and circle back again to the committee and give you something more detailed. But that's what I was putting on the floor tonight. And it isn't a motion. It isn't yet anyway. It will be a motion at some point when it's more fleshed out. But, if you guys could look at it and you can comment privately if you want, or we can
take it up at the next meeting.
This is Lydia.
Chris, before you go, Lydia, I just want to say something. Chris, I did see that, and I do appreciate it. And I want to say two things. One is I hope that, like some of the rest of us, you'll be working with Pacifica until you're old. And in addition to that, I want to ask you what you think, and I want to ask perhaps Lydia and Anita this as well, what participation in Mass 500 would do to improve that situation in terms of budgeting, in terms of what Teresa was asking about with cash flow. Wouldn't participation in Mass 500 make a lot of that easier?
Well, it certainly
that's
would.
That's a question I'm going to say.
Sorry.
Let me just clarify. That's a question for Chris and for Anita and for Lydia.
Okay. It certainly would simplify matters. If we were all operating on a single platform, and incidentally, I'm not advocating for Mass 500 here. I know that Anita is, but I'm just saying a single platform. It doesn't really matter what the platform
is. I appreciate
that. If we were all operating on a single platform, then the information would all flow into that single platform. And then we could judge on a network basis rather than on an individual station basis how the enterprise was performing. And, of course, that would be incredibly valuable. We could do it almost instantaneously instead of having to wait for various stations to report. And I think it's a slightly separate issue than the one I'm trying to address, which is namely the budgeting process. But it would help us monitor how the budgeting process was going. And yes, that would be an invaluable thing for the network to do.
And also, wouldn't it help us monitor how we're conforming to our budgets as the year goes
exactly.
on?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. That's benchmarks. Yes. Measuring benchmarks would be the part of this proposal. And yes, it would be invaluable in doing that. Yes.
Thank you. And Anita, do you have anything on that?
I was going to say, I agree with Chris. I think a single platform would make sense for all those reasons, because we could track the budget against year-to-date, come up with templates. All the expenses are there. I mean, for us to be able to provide a cash flow, it's looking at historical information that's all gathered in one system.
Yes, and I'm going to just respond real briefly to say that I think one of the reasons that we have struggled to move to one platform, we've had various attempts to move to one platform over the years, and people who are using a platform find it difficult to transition to a new platform. But I want to tell you, it's not that hard. With BAI, with virtually no staff, we don't have a business manager, we don't have accountants, we don't have virtually any staff, we were able to do that, and it wasn't that hard. It reminds me of transitioning from, I don't know, some old computer program that I used to use, and I resisted because it was so hard to learn that. I resisted moving to the next one, and it found out when I did move to the next one, it was so much easier. I was kicking myself for not doing it sooner. So it's not really that hard for the units to move to, and I'm not advocating a particular platform, but to move to a common platform, it shouldn't be that hard. And I apologize for taking so much time, but now, Lydia, did you have anything to say on that?
Yes, I do. I think that for many years, we were on the same platform. We were on Great Plains.
Was that the Great Plains? Yeah.
It was Great Plains. That didn't really address the issues that Chris is raising relative to budgeting. People still operated beyond their budget. So, but what can I say? So I agree. I'm not sold on Mass 500. I'm not against it. I'm not sold on it, however. We have to get more data, including, well, anyway, that's a whole different discussion. We'll have another time. But anyway, but in terms of what Chris is saying, I think it's really important to have that starting point and literally have that as your starting point for your budget, which is how you did in that previous fiscal year, and then move on from that, because otherwise you end up with monopoly money, And that's basically what some of the budgets have been. It's very aspirational. We're an aspirational foundation by virtue of our mission even, right? So that's not surprising. But I think if you have before you those actuals from the previous fiscal, and then you have the challenge of having to say, oh, I'm going to do better or whatever, and you have to have the current actuals to help guide you. And then if you're falling below that, then it requires a discipline on the part of the finance committee regularly getting those reports from the stations, and then that requires cooperation from the business managers and so forth. So it's a multi-step situation, but as a starting point, I 100% support Chris's proposal.
Lovely. I'd like to just say that we've had very general conversations tonight, and I hope in the future we can become more specific and have proposals and have actual conclusions and do work that has product that comes after it. And I'm hoping that with Chris, who I keep saying, I hope you don't go too far away, and with Lydia and with Anita, and all of our treasurers, we can pull together and start getting some, you know, not so much emotional, but some real solid numbers work and move forward to get ourselves so we know where we are, and hopefully we can then plan for where we're going. Anyone else? We do have new business, and we're at now 10:27, and I think we extended from 10:15. We extended for how many minutes? I don't remember.
It was only 5, but
time's up.
Time is up. Okay.
Gotta go.
Adjourned.
Just announce that the meeting is adjourned if nobody extends.
Okay, and by the way, Arpal, I meant to include the secretary in that list of people that I was hoping we could work with. And so I think then we will announce that the meeting is adjourned.
Okay. Thank you all.
Bye.
Good night.
Good night. Thank you, everyone. Thank you all.